Today is Saturday, the 29th of June, 2024, and we are gathered here for the 138th session on Mindfulness for Beginners, conducted in the English language from Nisarvanaya Forest Monastery. To our great fortune, we have Venerable Sister Rohini joining us into today's program. On behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Venerable Sister Rohini to today's session. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and also through the live stream over Facebook. Our program will commence with in-session practice guided by the Venerable Banyu, and then we will move on to the talk on today's topic, after which we will present the written reports and any verbal questions for Venerable Banyu's guidance and advice. So to get things started, I would like to invite Venerable Manu to commence with the in-session practice. Over to Manu. Thank you. Much merits.
Hello, everyone. To start with, we will do some practice. I think we have, today we are going to do walking, mindful walk. So as to your knowledge, you know by now, the mindful walk is walking mindfully. So you need to have a path to walk. So if you are going to walk inside, the path you are going to choose need to have without any disturbances. So if you come across with the furniture or something, then it will not happen in a nice way, in a good way. So without any distractions, without any disruptions, if you can walk, that is good enough for a walking meditation, so for a mindful walk. So here what we are going to do, usually we walk, every step we walk mindfully. Every step we put or we raise, we know we are raising that foot, or we are touching the floor, or what is happening within my body. So if you are aware of that, so we can say that person is mindful. So in here, it is not easy thing to do. Why? When we walk, we open our eyes. So we have that kind of, you know, distraction as well. When we see things, the eyes are the most distracted one. So when we see things, our mind distract from our walk to whatever we see. So the eyes and the ears also will distract with the sounds. The sounds are there, we can't stop them. The things are there, we can't stop seeing them. At the same time, our mind is working so hard with thinking, with emotional things, or just passing by thoughts. So those are unavoidable distractions. So I am not mentioning those things. What I mentioned first, without distraction, means without any furniture or anything to distract you. So when we are walking mindfully, when we walk, so we can anchor our mind in our body. So it can be the foot, can be your hip moving from side to side, so or the knee, it's bending and it's stretching. So whatever the prominent feeling you can observe right now, that can be the anchoring or primary object. So whenever the mind distracts from thoughts, sound, or anything, see, don't worry about it. The worrying is worst thing you can do while you are practicing mindfulness. So not to worry, whenever it goes away from your primary object, don't worry. And whenever you know that, whenever you realize that now I am not with the primary object, then you have two choices. One is you can stay with the sound or whatever you see or the thoughts in mindful way. Or you can bring your attention back to the primary object, whatever you choose as a primary object. So it can be like what is the feeling? How you feel the surface. So likewise. So those distractions will happen. Those we can't avoid. So no, but the thing is not to worry. So we need to understand that worrying is the worst thing we can do. And if we want to keep away those worries, we need to be mindful. So if you find that your mind is drip away, your mind is shifted from your primary object, if you worry, then you have losing. You lose your chance to bring back your attention to the body. So that is what, even at the everyday life, when you worry, you limit your chance, or you avoid your chance to be mindful. So it will happen in the same way while we are walking. So thinking or keeping that in mind, we will start mindful walk for 15 minutes or so, and see you in 15 minutes time. Okay, everyone, thank you for practicing mindful walk.
Thank you very much for
Okay.
this. Okay, thank you, Venerable Manuel. And next we have the talk for today's session. I would share the screen for the topic, and I would like to invite Venerable Manuel again to commence on the talk for on mindfulness for today.
Thank you, Namantha. Today's topic is man suffers from only because he takes seriously what the God made for fun. So the Alan Watts, I think he's a British philosopher. He interpreted the Eastern philosophy for a Western audience. Yeah. Sorry. So that one of his quote is man suffers only because he takes seriously what the God made for fun. This statement, actually, when we look at this, it invite us to reevaluate the nature of human, especially the suffering and our perception of life events. Those are actually we need to reevaluate. These statements ask or this statement invite us to reevaluate. Usually there are two categories of people. Some believe that a higher power created humans. Those creation is to experience the joy and the wonders of life. The others argue that sometimes the suffering is an inherent part of existence. So we suffer. That is a part of existence. So some people believe that. Some people argue that. So, and they say that those argument or those people, they say this existence of inherence of suffering serves as a mean to develop resilience. So we develop resilience through these sufferings. If the life is all about the experiencing joy and the wonders of life, then we can't develop the resilience. So that is the two arguments. If we can see or if we can analyze these two arguments with our understanding and with our experience, it is very good reason for us to analyze actually. So if we go through this analyzing part, by being joyful and having this perspective, if we say that okay, the joy and the wonders of life is one side, the suffering and the worries and all the other things are the other part, other side. If we analyze these two sides according to our experience, according to our life pattern, and all those things. So, one by one, I will go through. So, for example, if we are in a side of being joyful and having this perspective, that being joyful encourage us to adapt to the light-hearted or very healthy, or we can say very joyful life. And those people detach the approach to life. And also, they cultivate also in a sense of joy and resilience because they always in a joyful manner. They are always having that kind of perspective. So that people cultivate that inner sense of joy. And they have that inner sense of resilience. They develop or they strength their joyful thoughts. The joyful or resilient way of life, thinking. And what do they do when they're facing to the challenges, when they face, they can alleviate some of the weight of worries. Because they are always joyful. They think life as a joyful thing. They think the God create this to enjoy the life. So when they think like that, the challenges they can alleviate easily, giving that less weight of worries. And also, if someone has that kind of mindset, that person or that people can have a balanced life also. The people think, what I am saying, people think, and sometimes we can see also those kind of things among people. So if someone is in a joyful manner, living in a joyful manner, and they are having joyful thoughts most of the time, and they are giving less weight for the worries and those kind like that. So they have a kind of balance and fulfilling lifestyle, we can say. So, in the other side, we can see people are suffering, and we, for us also, we suffer sometimes. We suffer with diseases. We suffer with the seeing that our beloved ones are moving away. We suffer with death. We suffer with the aging. All those things are reasons for sufferings. The suffering part is also there. So we can't ignore that part. So if we have that kind of tendency that we are always thinking about the sufferings and all those negative thoughts, that kind of people have that tendency to take life too seriously. They think things happen for me only. The things happen for my family. Things happen to my workplace, or my job. And everything we attach to myself or to my family or to my friend. Or the mind is there, so we attach everything. We have an attachment. Because of that attachment, we have a tendency to take life too seriously. So frequently we think like that. Frequently, again and again, we whatever happen, that the person who is always looking at in that perspective, they think everything happened to me. All those things happen in negative way. So these negative bias thoughts turn away the joyful, positive part of the life. So if someone is having that joyful life and enjoying the life without thinking any sufferings and anything, and it is the one part, one side of the life. Some people are in the other side. They are always think about the suffering. They always think about the seriously think about their incidents or day-to-day things. They think it is happen only for them. Likewise, it's negative bias thoughts are there. And those people miss that inherent playfulness. The playfulness is also there. So when we are thinking all the time in the negative way, and when we are thinking all the time about all the sufferings and all, then we miss that inherited playfulness. Also, we mostly entangle with the stress, anxiety, and sufferings and all those things. So, what is happening? They fail to recognize, they fail to understand the transient and random or unpredictable or various existence. So they don't understand that. So they think always the suffering is there, and all the time I face suffering. So they can't see that the unpredictable way that is changing. So because of that, those people, the negative bias people, that they suffer a lot. They suffer more than the other people. If someone is taking things in relaxed manner, things they see in a detachable way, they are not attached to that. If something happened, okay, that is happened, and okay, the consequences are there, so I have to face the consequences. Okay, I am facing it, and that's all. So some people are like that, but some people are not like that. They take life as a very serious thing, and they approach all the life events as in a serious manner. So that is two side of the our life. So if we can incorporate this playful perspective into our daily life, so if we can do that, so then I think we can transform our experiences or relationships into less suffering pattern, less suffering life pattern. For example, I can say, if there is a conflict, we can approach that conflict with a sense of humor. Or we can approach that conflict with the openness. If there is an openness in a conflict or in a very troublesome matter, so when we have that openness can diffuse tension, the reduced tension. And also this openness and the approaching with the sense of humor, that kind of feeling foster the deeper connections, even within the family or within that workplace or with the neighborhood or with relatives. That connections are getting deeper and deeper because we approach, every time we approach with the sense of humor, every time we approach with the openness is there. When those things happen, we are not like a negative bias person. Then we think in a different angle. Every thing, every matter, every incident has a different angles to see. If we can open enough to see those things, then we will not suffer like that. So if we are not open enough to see that, the other corners of the matter, other corners of the conflict, then we are entangled with our thoughts, entangled with our negative thoughts that will always make us more and more suffer. And the other thing also I can say, if we are capable of weaving a failure as an opportunity for growth, then that is also a positive way of thinking about the life. Even a devastating event maybe. It is a very stressful event maybe. But still, if we can see it is as an opportunity for growth, then there is a encouragement. There is a some way of encouraging our resilience or optimistic outlook. So for those, whatever I said, we can't do it in all of a sudden. We can't do this. If we are, if I am a negative biased person, if I always look at things in a negative way, then all of a sudden I can't change. So to change myself, I need to practice. What we need to practice? The mindfulness is a good way of practicing, a good way of avoiding these kind of negative biased thoughts or the suffering Why? Because mindfulness is focusing on one thing at a time. And whatever you do right now, you are focusing on that. So your mind is with right now. It's not dwelling with past, or you are not worry about the past, or not fear about future. So the mind, if the mindfulness is there, you are living right now. Usually when we have when we worry about the past or the future, or when we have dreams or about future, then we have kind of suffering we develop within us because of that. So when we have that kind of suffering, that means we are not mindful. That means we are not in that right moment. So instead, if we are practicing mindfulness, if we focus on, okay, when we, right, just before we did mindful walk. So likewise, we practice mindful walk. Time to time, we practice. And time to time, we practice mindful sitting. And time to time, we try to be a mindful person while we are doing other work, having bath, having brushing teeth, having a snack. So likewise, we can be mindful. So every time when we try to be mindful, that our focus is in the present moment. So we are not worrying and we are not fear. We don't have a fear about the future also. Whenever we are mindful, that fear or the worry is not there. That means our negative thoughts or negative biased thoughts, we avoid that. We purposefully avoid those negative or positive, whatever the thoughts, random thoughts. We avoid those things. Instead, we focus on one thing. One thing whatever we are doing right now. So if someone is practicing mindfulness, so that person maybe that person has a view that life as a divine creation, or that God had created this life for a pleasure, or someone might think that this life is for a journey, or consisting with very, very difficult trails. It doesn't matter. If you are mindful, those two sides are not in the present moment. When you are, whatever the time, whenever the time, a split second, if you are mindful, that split second, you are in the middle. You are not in the two sides. So that means, if you are mindful, that mindfulness encourage us to have a meaningful, balanced life. How? That it is fostering our sense of peace. And all the time when we are mindful, we accept. If we are, just before before we start this program, we had a talk with Namanth. I had a talk with Namanth. So that question was about what we'll do if there is if we are not having any peaceful environment to practice. So then what we discuss is, whatever the environment is, peaceful or not peaceful, it doesn't matter as long as we are mindful. If we can be mindful about thoughts when the environment is not in a good manner, it is not in a peaceful manner, then I can see my thoughts are different. Maybe I am getting anger, maybe I am nervous. So if I can be mindful on that, then there is no two sides. So that means we can accept the life's inevitable hardships if you are mindful. But I am not saying that all of a sudden when you are trying to be mindful for a week or two, it will happen. You need to practice it again and again, frequently. Consistency should be there. Then you will get this kind of the mention benefits. Otherwise, don't expect be trying to be mindful for a week or so, and then these benefits will come after you. But it will not happen. You need to, or someone need to practice again and again regularly. Then you can have those kind of benefits. And the other thing is that when you are mindful, you can highlight or you can incorporate the nature of impermanence. So you will see that nature of impermanence, the life impermanence is there. You will see it. Then when you realize, when you recognize the life impermanency, the impermanent situations. So when that, when you realize it, so life make easy because you know it is not permanent thing. Good or bad come and go. And if it is not permanent, we don't need to worry or we don't need to be happy or joyful for one thing because it also will go. So that highlighting or that the knowledge is there when you are mindful. Also, you can see that the changing nature, diseases also come and go. So all the bad things are come and go. They are not permanent. They are not keeping you all the time unless you are keeping it. So if you can, if something happened and you get sad, and you can keep it again and thinking about it again and again, you can keep it. But also, if you are mindful and you can avoid it, thinking about it. And instead, you can be mindful of something else. So by doing that, you can avoid that the negative biased thoughts or negative thinking or the ruminating thinking, whatever it is, you can avoid it. So if you are like that, if someone is like that, then that person will see a simple things to joy, be joyful. You will find a joyful thing. It is a very simple thing. Maybe you can look at a flower pot and that flower pot is blooming. So you will find the joy in there. But if you are in a worry mood or if you are thinking of something happened yesterday or something will happen tomorrow or something like that, then you will not see that happiness while looking at the blooming of flowers. So likewise, there are many, many things we miss. Many, many things we overlook because of our overthinking of seriousness about the life. When your mind is so heavy with the worries and, you know, all the negative things, usually you miss those simple joys. So, while being a mindful person, we will also understand that we may not be able to control our everyday life events. We are not able to do that. So we will see that. You will realize it. You will understand it when you are be mindful. Or when you are mindful, you will see that, okay, I can't control these things. I am not able to control, or I am not able to judge these things. But in the same time, in the same way, you will realize that you have a power to change the attitude towards that incident. You can change the attitude. You can choose what kind of attitude I will put in that to that incident, to that matter. So the attitude is the thing you keeping you as a warrior or the sufferer or joyful person. So we can change all the time this attitude. To change that, you need to understand what kind of attitude you are having right now. So for that, you need to understand or you need to be mindful for the right moment or the present moment. When you are in a present moment, you can see your attitudes are changing. So when you can see it, when you can understand it, when you can focus on that, you can choose the right attitude to be a joyful person or to having without having any worries. And also we can say that in that manner you can reevaluate the life or challenges. So you can cope with sufferings. You can understand the path to make sufferings, and you can understand to avoid the suffering also. How? Trying to be mindful. And those sufferings you can alleviate actually with the breaking of that cycle of negative thinking or ruminating, we say rumination. When you have that cycle of thoughts with the negative thinking all the time about the worries, about the fears, about the frustration. When we have that kind of thoughts again and again and again, that can become a loop or a cycle of thoughts. So if we can break that cycle or negative thinking or the rumination, so you can alleviate that suffering. To do that also, you need to have, you need to code that loop of worrying. You need to code that loop of thinking. Thinking about the past or thinking about the unpredictable future. So if you can code, if you are worrying, if you can code it by being mindful, then you can avoid it. Then you can break that chain of thought, or you can break the cycle of thought. So in that manner, you can be a joyful person. You can be a less suffered person. Also, the other thing is when you are mindful, you encourage all the time to anchor your mind in one thing. It is in the present moment. So when you are practice enough to understand and observe your thoughts and emotions without any entangle, without any attachment, then you are easily, you can recognize and understand your attitudes or your emotional feelings right now, and then you can change it into a positive one. So whatever you need to do, you need to practice again and again the mindfulness. The practice of observing without attachment is the thing allow us to recognize our thoughts. So if we have attachment, then we are not mindful. Then that means we are all again in that cycle of negative thoughts. So saying all those things, trying to be mindful also, when you are mindful, if you can avoid those thoughts, and if you are good enough or if you are strong enough to change your attitude towards whatever the happening right now, and that means you are learning or you can learn or you have that kind of kindness, a self-compassion towards you. That is the most important kindness. Rather than you are spreading kindness to other people or other animals or whatever, you need to understand the self-compassion or the kindness towards you. So if you are following the mindfulness practice and if you avoid those loop of negative thoughts or negative bias, emotional feelings, and if you can change your attitudes to the in a positive manner, then you have or you are developing your self-compassion and the acceptance whatever you are facing. So that is a very good thing for mental and physical health. So the whatever we are, according to this discussion and according to this topic, well, I wanted to tell or I wanted to discuss is to reduce our sufferings and to cultivate more empathetic and compassionate outlook towards others, and to have a self-compassion and acceptance whoever who you are. And you need to practice mindfulness regularly, daily basis, at least 30 minutes or 1 hour. Or if you can't find time for 30 minutes or 1 hour, at least 5 minutes per day. And that in that way, you will develop your self-compassionate and the acceptance who you are. And then through that, you can avoid the bad or negative biased thoughts and emotions. In that way, time to time, you will practice the joy, the sukhi attanam pariharami. So you will enjoy your life. In that manner, you can spread your kindness, you can spread your compassion towards other people and other world in a harmonious and understanding way. So thank you for listening. Over to you, Namantha.
Thank you very much, Manu, and many minutes for an excellent and in-depth talk on how to watch your mind and achieve great things in this way. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Anupama to commence the session, and I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners. Over to you, Anupama. I will share the screen. Are you on mute, Anu?
Hello. Can you hear me now? Okay. Hello, everybody. Nice to be with you again, and thank you, Manu, again for a wonderful and insightful talk. I will proceed by reminding everyone about the guidance for mindfulness for beginners. Most of you are familiar with this, but for the benefit of those who would like a reminder, I shall proceed. So we start off by advising you to watch certain instruction videos on mindful walking and sitting practice. You can see the link on the screen as shared to you by Namantha. He has also posted that in our chat. Once you have watched these videos with the instruction, the advice is to allocate a small time daily to start practicing mindful walking and sitting. Continue this training for a few days until you have completed at least 2 hours of each practice in total. Once you've completed the 2 hours, the next step is to write down your experience. This is in the form of a reflection report, either in the form of a question or statement. You can write your mindfulness training experience under titles such as mindful walking, mindful sitting, or mindfulness in daily practice or daily activities. You can describe what you felt during these activities. For example, what was your posture like when you were sitting? Any prominent sensations that you felt, for example, when you're walking? What was the texture of the ground, pressure points on the soles? How did the body weight shift from one leg to another, etc.? Similarly, in the sitting position also, you can comment on these sensations as well as the incoming and outgoing breath at the nostrils and the movement of the abdomen, for example, with the breathing. Once you've completed the report, you can submit it either using the Google form, the link is in front of you and in the chat, or send it to us via email, beginnersnv@gmail.com. So continue your mindfulness practice, and our kind Bhantes will listen to your reports when we read it to them and give you feedback accordingly. And all past recording sessions, all past sessions have been recorded and are available on the Nisaranavanya link that is also shared on the screen in front of you. So that is the end of the mindfulness for beginners guide. We will move on to reading the first report of the day. So we start off by mindful sitting. sat on the low stool, took few deep breaths, body relaxed into the sitting position. Sensation of natural breath felt near nostrils. Attention was mostly with rhythm of breathing. Thoughts arose and passed away without proliferation. Release of mental tension felt. Sense of ease experienced both in body and mind. Subtle breath noted, which broke up into what felt like a series of mini breaths. Could not distinguish in and out breath well. Calmness felt. Prominent breath returned. Sat for 50 minutes. Mindful walking. Walked on the pavement with shoes on. Attention was on feet movement. Not distracted by sights or sounds. Attention moved between feet movement and weight shifting. Thoughts arose and passed with no disturbance. Body continued to walk. Little expectations from the walk and a calm feeling experienced. Walked for 40 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. There was an event last week that showed the practice is influencing behavior. Email from work copied to the group querying the damage to an antique tabletop. No reply seen. Remembered how a couple of days before, a client's glass of water spilt on the table. It was quickly wiped off and no damage seen at the time. Since receiving the email and remembering the incident, a reply was sent explaining what happened and asking what needs to be done to resolve it. Email reply was very generous, thanking the honesty and no need to repair, which they will investigate. And to use a mat when glasses of water kept on that table. The thought of staying quiet did cross the mind a couple of times, but that did not feel right, and the option to tell the truth was chosen. However, more deep-rooted behaviors need more time and patience to shift. Reactions happen before the pause of mindfulness has arisen. For example, automatically disagreeing with some family members, simply out of habit, is hard to change. Like the mind and body acting like a robot with an internal program would. In day-to-day activities, the awareness is prominent for longer. For example, reaching up to a cupboard, noticing the heels lifting and body balancing on toes, also noting feet movements when walking out the door. Smoothness or hardness or temperature of household items when lifting or holding these are easy to note without much effort. Dear Bante Manu, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizer. Therwan Saranam. End of today's report.
Thank you, Anupama. So after listening to this long report, the sensation of breath that I noticed in sitting meditation, she or he explained about the subtle breath and the prominent breath is going back to back. Sometimes its breath is subtle and any difference between in breath and out breath. So that much of subtlety is there, and then the prominent breath is appearing also. So that is how our when you are practicing mindfulness, there's no permanency also in there. Even in the practice, you can't see anything permanent. So it's also come and go. Sometimes it is subtle. Sometimes the breath is very subtle and sometimes you can't even recognize it. But all of a sudden, the prominent breath also appears. So the appearing and disappearing is also showing us kind of impermanence. So nothing is permanent. Even in the practice, you can see it. in daily practice, you can see it, the impermanence, even in the practice. And also the when that report explained about the mindful walk, it also it says sometimes focus on feet, sometimes shifting weight. So the focus is also changing from time to time. It changed from this to the that. So it is also not permanent. Although I am thinking of keeping my attention in feet, but it shift to weight shifting. The moving of one from one leg to the other, the weight is also moving from the other one to the other. So the focus point is also changing. So whatever happen, you can notice. And about the day-to-day activities also explained in the same manner. The same thing is explaining in that. So it is a complete report actually. And the incident, the table incident, make me think that. So when you observe those things, you can recognize our thoughts are not necessarily true or not necessarily permanent. They are not permanent, even though focal point, whatever we are focusing on, is also changing. It's changing the pattern of, there's a pattern of changing sometimes. Sometimes there's no any pattern even. So when you have some thoughts, the thoughts are also not true. All the time it is not true. If you are so mindful, you can see it. The thoughts are also changing and also they are not true. And also they are not permanent. So everything is impermanent. Everything is changing. Even in you are sitting or you are walking or you are doing day-to-day activities or you are observing your thoughts, everything is subject to change. So that you can see in your practice. So when you see in your practice those things, nobody need to say, okay, the world is not permanent. You can see it by yourself. So it is in written actually in this report. Thank you for sending that report. And please continue in the same way and focus on the mindful walk and mindful sitting. And you can see more and more those impermanence and the dukkha also, the suffering, nature of suffering. When you want to see something, if you are not seeing it, then you see, like, you know, it is a kind of suffering. So don't expect anything from your practice. Just whatever happened right now, just observe it. Just be mindful on that. So in that way, you can go for a long journey. So thank you for writing that report and sending us. I'm sorry, I can't open this my video because whenever I remove my head cover, is my cough. This not doing any good for me.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. That's brilliant advice. I'm sure it helps the person who writes, and definitely it gives us all an opportunity to develop our own practice as we go. That was the report for today. I think next is a question and answer session. So if anyone has any questions for or any statements to make, please put your Zoom hand up and we will invite you to unmute yourself. I don't see any hands up for the moment. I just have something to say, Venerable Rohini. I mean, I really identify with the notion that adversity or suffering in life, I feel it's really needed for us to spiritually progress or evolve. I mean, for me personally, I think the first time I experienced probably some profound sadness or grief was when my father passed away. And that was really a big turning point for me to actually explore the spiritual path in a more different or mindful way. So I don't know whether you have anything to comment or say about that, Venerable Rohini.
Yes, that the suffering is there. Without suffering, there's no life actually. Only I think maybe according to Buddhism, if I say only the Arahat, the fully enlightened one, will have the not suffering life. So everybody else, we are entangled with something. We are entangled with worries or desires. So mostly, when we are entangled with worries, we suffer a lot. And unfortunately, we like it. That is our nature. That is the nature of our brain. So if you can read that, there's a book called Buddha's Brain. In there, the writer explained, we have chemical in our brain that accept accept or like to develop or like to entangle with sad thoughts. Whenever sad thing happen, we like to remember it or remind it or thinking about it again and again. So that is how we suffer more. According to our topic also, that means, you know, okay, things happen. You know, the relatives will pass away and something will happen to me also, maybe break my leg or something. You know, you can predict the future. So things will happen. And if you are mindful and if you, when you see that through the mindfulness, the impermanent nature of life and impermanent nature of the sufferings, so then you can realize, okay, so things happen. And at that moment, yes, it is a very disaster for me. Passing away my close relative is a very painful experience. But if we want to think it again and again about that person's past, how we live with him or her, you know, there are many, many memories with that. So those memories are making you again and again the unhappiness. Again and again that worry is coming with the memories. So if we can transcend or if we can change those memories to good things, sometimes we think about the deceased person or dead person. Okay, I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. So at that time he said or she said so, but I couldn't reply to it. You know, there are all those, mostly, I'm not saying all the time, but most of the time we entangle with those thinking pattern. We entangle with that loop of or cycle of thinking in a negative bias. But instead, if we can change that or if we can break the cycle into a positive one. Okay, so while he was there, or while she was there, I did this and I did that. And we had the enjoyment in there. So how we enjoy the life. So if you can change that track, you need to forcefully do that. So when you do that forcefully, that the thinking, the background thoughts, we call it clip of background thoughts or very mini mini clips of background thoughts, change into positive way. Because when we use the same pattern again and again, that strengthens that area. They strengthening that type of thoughts. If we change those thoughts into different thoughts purposefully, then in your background thoughts, those chain of thoughts are changing also. Because you are thinking before all the things about worrying thing. Now you are going to replace them whenever you memorize, where you think, okay, the bad thing, so you would replace it with the good thing. In that manner, the background thoughts are changing from negative bias to positive bias. So in that way, if you do that couple of days, what will happen? It is the same thing happen when you are doing a metta meditation. When you practice metta, the sukhi hontu or the supatteva or something, so you repeat it again and again whenever the bad thoughts come. So that means you replace it, replace the bad thoughts with the positive one. So that in that way, your background thoughts are developing with the positive thoughts. So whenever you are still, whenever you are quiet, those background thoughts are the one coming forward. As thoughts. So that's why Buddha says, if you are angry person, if you are, then practice metta meditation. If you are lustful person, so there's a many, many prescription Buddha has given to avoid those things. So in a way, if you have a worrying thing, so if you are worried about the past, about that whatever you are worrying, so you need to replace it with the positive one. Recently, I had, not recently, last year actually, there was a boy wanted to suicide. And I was doing that 2 o'clock here in New Zealand, 2 o'clock actually. So early in the morning session, 7:30 p.m. Sri Lankan time session. And I got this message. And only thing I did, I called 111 also, and the only thing I did, I make him to remember all the good things he had done. So then all the bad things, negative things, I replaced with him. While I was talking with him, what I did, I replaced all the bad things or negative thoughts with the positive one. Okay, remember you did this, and remember you they did that, and you how you are capable of doing this and doing that, and likewise. So you can keep it also in whenever you worry about, whatever you worry about, you can try to do that. So you need to be mindful though. Thank you for asking that question. I don't know, I did give you a good question answer or not. I hope.
No, definitely. I mean, there is a lot to take in, and I think these kind of discussions and reminders, it kind of helps us to reset ourselves as well. I mean, we have, we can get caught in our day-to-day lives, isn't it? So this kind of grounding and is very valuable. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Any other questions or comments for the time being? Namantha, your hand is up. If you can unmute yourself and ask.
Thank you, Anu. Viral Manu, I think one thing I noted with regard to shifting thoughts is that you can shift the thoughts, but I'm usually developing this hindsight that if I shift the thoughts too much, I would be in a wonderland and not too realistic. Like, I can think very positively about tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow, I feel, okay, what I assumed the day before yesterday was too positive, too overly positive, and then I was so far off the of what I would consider as truth. So this is my experience in shifting thoughts by too many gears, I would say. So rather than doing that, maybe maybe keep some positive thought shift happening, but keep some checks on are you being realistic or not. So I think that because it comes up to you if you are overly positive or if you are off the track by a large margin, then it kind of comes back to haunt you. That's the experience. I hope I elaborated well enough, but this is my experience in shifting thoughts. Yes.
That's a
Just
good comment, Namantha. So what is wrong in there is, I'm not saying you are completely wrong, but what is wrong is you are not realistic when you are thinking all the time positive way. But what I said is, when you have that loop of thoughts that bothering you, the cycle of thoughts are coming, you know, all the time. Like Anupama said, the passing away of a relative. So those thoughts are coming again and again. So it is not like, you know, the tomorrow, I'm thinking of tomorrow is like a positive day, whole day. The day after, not like that. But there are some thoughts, they are coming to again and again as a cycle of thoughts or chain of thoughts. It is sometimes it is related to a very excited one or very nervous one or very painful one. So those things are not all the time. So those things happen with, like, you know, there's something drastically happened to your life, then there is something related to those things. Your mindset is producing the same chain of thoughts, same cycle of thoughts again and again. So, and when that happened, you need to replace those cycle of thoughts with the positive one or the something different. That is what I said. When you are a bit angry or when you are having some angry thoughts, so you can practice the metta. So in that way, you are not, anger is there. So your anger is there. I am not saying it is no anger there, but you are replacing your angry thoughts with a positive metta thoughts. But still, maybe you are not in a metta condition. Maybe still you are not calm enough to spread the metta. So that is bad. You are controlling your that bad thoughts. Kind of control is there. So that means your background thoughts are replacing with good one. So when that happens for again and again, then your background thoughts shift normally, naturally, with the metta thoughts. Whenever something happened with the angry, so naturally it comes, okay, Sukhi Hontu, or something like that. It automatically comes. So likewise, when that something happened drastically, you need to shift. Not all the every day, like, you know, that tomorrow is going to be a good day and, you know, I'm not doing this and I'm doing that. No, no, not programming like that. So if you try to program like that, then it is not realistic.
Yes,
definitely not realistic.
Yes, Manu, I get the idea, I think. Yeah, you have to be, yes, okay. Yes, I think I get what you mean. It's a very complicated thing, but yeah, it's okay.
So my understanding from that is, if there is a specific situation that keeps arising, and that specific situation kind of triggers or gives rise to a negative thought pattern, then it's
maybe a
about
loop. Something like
a loop.
If you're in a loop, basically. If you're in a loop, what Manu is saying, shift the gears so you escape the loop first. And then you can manage again.
So
yes.
Yeah, when you are having a loop, yes. Not thinking, not like Namantha said, not thinking of, oh, I am going to do a positive way tomorrow. Or next hour, I am going to do a positive thing. Not like that. But just to break the cycle of thought, just to break the loop.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you, Namantha, and thank you, Manu. Very interesting. And certainly food
Thank you,
for thought.
Ramanth, actually. Yeah, it is good. I think otherwise it's a misunderstanding can happen.
Yes, I wanted to clarify because I was already doing what Manny was saying. Then I felt something was like superficially perfect about it on the surface. But when I go deep down, the sorrow, the anger, whatever is still there, wood on fire, or sort of, it's like hidden, but it is there. Then I knew, okay, this is just a superficial level. And that's why I wanted to raise a question for discussion. And yes, I had the same experience that Anupama did. My father also passed away in 2012. The pain was very much unbearable. Some Kayanupassana practices that I did in the first few weeks helped quite a bit. But they only helped to a certain level, it is still there, that pain. So what Manu is saying is very very important and to the point, because if you feel you are in a loop, then there's nothing you can do but to escape the loop first. So you can try shifting thoughts as you mentioned. Thank you. It's very clear that this way with that advice. Much merits.
Thank
Okay.
you, everyone. If that any more questions or comments, or maybe it's time to conclude the session if we don't have any other.
Yes, I think we can conclude. Thank you so much, and much merits, Anupama, for your
Thank you.
effort in and support in conducting the question and answer session. And many thanks to the person who sent the report as well. I would like to pass on merits and well wishes to Venerable Manu Rohini, who joined us in today's session, representing Nisarvana Forest Monastery. We would associate and share these merits with Venerable Manu and wish Manu good health, long life, and also great success in the path of mindfulness to achieve your objectives. And we wish to see Manu again in future sessions if possible. With such great insight and intellect being shared with us. Furthermore, I would like to share all the merits gained with the Most Venerable Bante Udayiragama Dhammajiva Mahatheru, the Chief Abbot of the Nisarvana Forest Monastery, for requesting this program to be initiated and for supporting the program with valued resources from the Forest Monastery. We wish him all the best in his endeavors, and also wish him good luck and great health in all his work. I would also like to share merits with all the wonderful organizers who are behind this program, the lay person organizers who are working hard on certain aspects of the program. Wish these merits will be accumulated by them, and that their own practices will flourish, and they will reap many benefits of mindfulness practice in this specific manner. I would also like to share and pass on merits to all of you who joined the Zoom session. Thank you for your presence in the program. Time is a very valuable entity these days, and you are committing 1.5 hours of your valued time for this program. Thank you, and many merits to you. Because of you, we are running the program. Thank you for bringing your presence to the program over Zoom, and also possibly on Facebook live stream as well. I would wish you all the success in your life with mindfulness objectives achieved, and happiness achieved in the same way. So the program will commence again same time. That will be Sri Lankan time 1 p.m. wherever you are located geographically in the world. And we will have a similar format of the program. Venerable Bante or Venerable Manu will be on the program presenting much valued insight. And I would like to wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead, where you learn and apply mindfulness practices in your ownership. So we will meet you next week, and I will end the Zoom session. Many merits for all your presence and support. Thank you.